Okay, we return with a man who's got lots of brains. Who's a CFA? I can't actually remember what CFA stands for, Ben. But you've got one of those qualifications.
I got one of them. Yeah.
Right. So Ben Kumar, investment manager for Seven Investment Management. Good morning.
Morning.
Right. Looks like the worst is over, isn't it?
Well, that was it. It sort of feels that way, doesn't it? And it's a bit weird. Nothing really changed. I mean, unless you saw something I didn't. You know, the 11th of February, everyone just started getting happy again.
Valentine's Day.
Well, I mean, maybe that was the run-up. The chocolates and flowers really led the markets higher. Interestingly, that we saw a bit of data from one of our research firms saying that on about the 23rd of February, all of the CTAs, all of those momentum traders, talking to the investment banks about their flow, switched. They switched from being short to being long. So the sort of 10-day moving average.
Why didn't somebody tell me that?
Well, I know. It's a bit late now, isn't it? Where was that data on the day?
Yeah. So basically, you had to follow the wise heads in all the investment institutions at that time.
Well, I think they probably had a little bit of a clue. But I mean, it's just interesting that the momentum trends are that short term, right? 10 days and all of this big amount of money is moved.
Well, I think I'm just trying to look at where the FTSE broke its 10-day average, let's say, which was actually on the 16th of February, and has stayed above it ever since, which is an interesting thing.
Yep.
So, I mean, maybe they were, you know, they were. I mean, probably actually the 23rd is probably more closer to the 50-day moving average break. But I don't know whether they're American or they're you know, it depends, because the American markets were stronger, and that's been a highlight, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, strikingly, the FTSE has been pretty strong all year, and for an awful index that I come on and I slate quite a lot of the time because of its composition. You know, it's heavy in mining, it's heavy in energy. It's actually been one of the better performing indices, which I think has been a bit of an oddity that people are trying to get their heads around.
So people were so certain that the FTSE was going to be doomed because of the commodities and the energies that they went ultra short, and now have had to been squeezed all the way back and maybe more.
I think that's probably a good reading of it. You know, maybe people were far too doom and gloom on energy. You know, BP is not going to go bust. It might not have a great few years, but it's not going to, you know, evaporate.
Well, yeah, but there's still the issue of the two issues which I try and sort of try to hit people with. One is deflation, which is like, you know, okay, we've got to squeeze, you know, the margins get squeezed, and you've got, you know, you can't raise prices, and you know that sort of thing. But the main one is this that leading to dividend pressure. I mean, the pressure on dividends, and we've seen quite a few horror stories on that, and that has to affect the FTSE and has to affect the stock market, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, so I think one good thing from my point of view is that I don't think there's deflation in the US. I think it's unequivocally the opposite. You know, we saw core inflation coming in at 2.2%. Even normal CPI headline, which includes all those oil numbers and the commodities and the food prices, is at about 1.4% in the US. A target of 2, that's not that far away, and it's on an upward trend. And I think really from a confidence point of view, if the US isn't in deflation and is continuing to, you know, I think we'll see a couple of rate rises this year. I think we will see more than one. You know, I think that gives confidence to consumers around the world that deflation isn't setting in, which is really important. One thing I think I will agree with you on, knowing your position, is negative interest rates are awful. And I don't think people understand, you know, I don't think the full impact of the ECB going more negative has yet been factored in.
I think before you came on, though, there's a bit of a problem with the ECB as far as coming up with policy that they can agree on. So a bit of rumours of that, which is always exciting. So the euro's got a bit stronger. But I mean, what I was going to say there with the dividend issue. I mean, this is maybe a general question. We've got negative interest rates or rates around zero. Why are companies still paying 3%, 4%, 5%? I mean, they could just pay 1% or 2% and, you know, have much more money and, you know, expand and do this and do that. Why are they still in? Haven't they realized?
I don't think companies are struggling for money, Zach. I think the problem, you know, they can borrow. Nestle issued a bond at negative interest rates, right? That's why it can afford to pay a dividend, because it can borrow from the market and just pretty much give it straight back. You know, I don't think companies need to cut their dividend. I think they're scared of what it does to their share price.
But I'm just saying that rate, you know, 4% or 5% is still, you know, it's like a lot of companies still loyal to that idea.
Yeah.
But that's from, you know, that's from the old days. That's when interest rates were 7% or 6%.
I think you're right in the fact they may not need to, but they don't get to start from a clean slate. If I'm a CEO, I come out and say, we're halving our dividend, you know, people get worried and they tank your share price, which then increases your dividend yield of what you've just agreed to halve. So I think
So that just makes the stock market all the more compelling. I mean, that's the only conclusion to have.
Well, at the moment, it does seem to be, right? You know, why would you be looking at a European bond? You know, why are you going to go to a German bond and pay the government of Germany, ten bips a year for 10 years? Look at the equity market. At least you've got some decent upside.
Right. So then, why is then the FTSE at 6,000 rather than 8,000?
Well, I think we've had a problem of transition, right? A transition from a world in which we thought that everything was falling apart. We had emergency policy. We're now trying to get back to a world where we think there might be some growth in the equity markets that's not monetary policy fueled. And I think the market's having a tough time digesting that, trying to look for, okay, if there's no liquidity, if it's not liquidity-driven markets, it's fundamentals-driven. A lot of people haven't made that shift yet.
Right, just to find, I mean, you know, we're getting to the, you know, we've managed to make it through the first couple of months of this year. It was like a horror story. What is looking good as far as just the general asset allocation? I mean, I hear from experts, at least a couple of experts around the place who sort of have millions under management, that Japan is just a no-brainer thing to buy. Is that your view?
I'm not sure whether it's a no-brainer, but I think you've got in Japan, you have companies that are continuing to grow. They didn't, they kept their margins high rather than take market share. And I think that seems to be pretty compelling. You've got ratings that are valuations that are quite attractive. The small cap Japan looks really good. So I like that. I mean, I think Europe remains risky and volatile, and we've got some German elections coming up. We've got a Brexit looming over. But stock prices there, particularly again small and mid cap, look compelling.
Right. So the atmosphere, I mean, it seems to be sort of divergence between, or you know, dichotomy is probably the right word, between the macro, what the macro situation is, and what the fact that it doesn't really tie up and add up, and you know what a central bank is going to do. But then under the surface, or under that sort of smoke screen, you know, people are sort of ticking along quite nicely, or companies, you know, on the corporate level, things are going quite well. So is that something which is actually a bit of a trick in the market at the moment?
Yeah, so I think there was a big fear at the start of the year that market wobbles would translate into poor reality, right? Yeah. Poor confidence. I don't think we've seen that. Fortunately, the bounce back has helped. What we need to see now is that confidence, that reality, translate into a decent, sustained rally in the markets that isn't kind of, you know, based on liquidity and fast trading, but is based on people, you know, taking that optimism they have about their own lives and the world and putting that into long-term investments.
Okay, well, Ben Kumar, investment manager for Seven Investment Management, thank you very much for answering all the difficult questions I threw at you, because I came up with all my worst stuff there, so you've handled it very well. But we'll be back after the break.